Neuroscientists are discovering a whole lot about how memory works. For instance, say I ask you to tell me what you heard in a previous segment, maybe the previous interview. So your mind is going to try to rewind the tape, but it's not going to just regurgitate the words. It's going to spool back the whole context, where you were sitting or standing, what you were doing or thinking or feeling when you heard that interview. And that insight turns out to be the key to helping people forget. At Dartmouth College, neuroscientist Jeremy Manning is figuring out how. He told Raymond Tunkekar he's had a lifelong fascination with how memory shapes who we are.
Ever since I was a young child, I've had this recurring thought, which is that your experiences up until this moment are just reflected in your memory. There's nothing else. So if I were to take my memory and implant them in someone else, or if I were to take someone else's memory and implant them into my brain, from the perspective of myself, I would never be able to distinguish whether I was still the same person. So your memories kind of make you who you are.
Well, and I'm sure we'll get into some of that, but I mean, I got to ask a really basic question. What exactly is a memory?
Yeah, so a memory is when you reactivate a thought from your past. So when you remember a past event, you're getting a blend of your brain activity when you experience the event at first, plus your activity now.
Wow, okay. So you're kind of like rewriting a memory in a sense?
Well, then, you know, if you were to remember a past event multiple times, every time you remember that event, now you've got a blend not only of the original experience, but also of the last times you've remembered that experience. So memories can change over time, and it is all related to an idea called context. So if you think of eating dinner last night with some friends, some of your thoughts at that moment are going to be about the taste of the food, the sights, the sounds, the smells, the textures that you're experiencing right at that moment. But your subjective experience is much richer than just plucking out an individual moment and experiencing it independently of everything else. So for example, as you're eating that dinner, maybe you're also mulling over a project from work, or maybe the fact that you're tired or that you had one too many glasses of wine. All those internally driven thoughts that don't come from your immediate experience provide a kind of context for your immediate experience. And it means that when you're remembering your dinner last night, the contextual thoughts you associated with that dinner are also going to come back.
Okay, so it sounds like you're saying the context, you know, for instance, like the smell in the air or the weather during your dinner yesterday, those details aren't just secondary to an actual memory. They have a more crucial role. They kind of help to anchor a memory in place. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, that's actually a great description. So if you experience the same event twice, like you have the same thing for dinner on multiple nights in your life, it's not the same experience because the context is going to be different.
Aren't you kind of like reassigning the contextual details to a specific memory every time you recall it?
You're definitely adding to the contextual details. So the idea is kind of interesting. It's that your thoughts about one specific moment are transient. So they fade in and out of existence with each new moment. But contextual thoughts persist in the brain for longer. In other words, the contextual thoughts you have in one moment hang around to influence the thoughts you have in the next moment.
Well, how does this relate to your work on the science of forgetting?
So I think of remembering and forgetting as really two sides of the same coin. So in my lab, I'm mostly interested in improving people's memory, but understanding how we remember also requires understanding when that process breaks down, like when we forget. And then just like remembering something can be beneficial, sometimes forgetting can be beneficial too. Post-traumatic stress disorder is kind of the classic example of this stuff. So say you're listening to a song on your iPod and then you're like violently mugged while listening to that song. And then later the song comes on the radio, you know, maybe your traumatic memory is going to come rushing back to you. So one potential treatment for post-traumatic stress disorder involves sensitization. So you can have a patient gradually build up new safe associations with the innocuous stimulus, like the song you were listening to on your iPod or the street you were walking on or the store they had, you know, just come from. For example, you might have the patient re-experience those stimuli in new contexts or situations that they know are safe.
Well, I guess I'm not sure if this relates to your study, but reading about your study, it got me thinking about conventional approaches to dealing with trauma. It requires a little bit of backstory on my part. But basically, when I was a teenager, my mom passed away pretty suddenly. And it was probably like the most formative, important event in my life. And I remember in the months afterward, I mean, I did everything to just forget it and to distance myself from that. You know, I didn't talk about it. I didn't think about it. I tried to distract myself. And it's only recently did I realize that it was actually sitting with that grief, that pain, that, you know, allowed me to really grow and become a stronger, better person. And I guess it seems like there's a lot of emphasis placed on resilience and helping people move on and forget painful experiences. And I guess I'm wondering if that focus on resilience and bouncing back, if we're actually missing something kind of important.
Wow. Yeah. So you're saying maybe there's a value to not forgetting.
Exactly.
Yeah, I could see that. So our study does start to get at why things get easier with time, which comes back to this context idea. So the memory of your mother passing away probably came into your thoughts quite a bit. Well, every time you remembered that happening, you're not only re-experiencing the original memory, you're also experiencing, to some extent, those previous rememberings. That means that over time, your thoughts are kind of going to get smoothed out by more recent experiences. And so memories change and shift, you know, based on what's happening new in our lives.
That's our producer, Raymond Tungekar, talking with Dartmouth College neuroscientist Jeremy Manning.